Let's face it, being a leader can be a very stressful job at any time in our lives. But when you throw in things like, I don't know, a global pandemic that's still going on almost 2 years later, the holidays, family life, all of the different challenges that we have to face as leaders, we all undergo stress at some point in our lives. How would you like to manage it more? Well, our guest today is Carly Myers, and she is an expert at helping business owners and leaders who struggle with leaving work at work to put themselves first so that they can make the deep impact they are meant to make on the world. And as the founder of the Stressless Company, Carly has helped hundreds of professionals around the world do this all while working less and making more money. Who doesn't want that? So sit back and relax and have a stress-free 30 minutes while you listen to this episode of the Navigating Your Leadership Podcast. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership Podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed. And as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter. And today we have my new friend, Carly Myers, on the show. And I'm really excited to dive into this conversation because if you listen to episode 10, I talked a little bit about the pause or the push and how if we miss some things, sometimes we can fall into a stress mode. And Carly is all about the stressless method and helping people, guiding people through not feeling all the stress and anxiety that we can in society. And so welcome to the podcast, Carly.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are more than welcome. And I know, as you said before I hit the record, this has been a long time coming. We've been trying to connect and do this for a long time, but I always feel like things happen for a reason. And I think this is perfect timing to really talk about your subject of expertise today. And on that note, can you just share with the audience, like, what is it that you do and how did you get to this place of for living?
Yeah. Oh, so the second question that you asked, I have to warn you, it's a can of worms. But yeah, so I'm the founder and leader here at the Stressless Company. And what I do is I work with leaders and business owners who struggle with leaving work at work. So whether it's the physical tasks or the racing thoughts about them. And I support them in experiencing more peace and more freedom so that they can really get out of their own way. And so they can work less and make more. And that's really the gist of what I do from a sky view, I guess, bird's eye view. And the reason that I got into this line of work is actually, this is where the can of worms come in. It goes the whole way back to when I was a kid, believe it or not. I think a lot of us, we get into our work because of an experience we had or our life situation. And so for me, that meant an experience that I had in my own home and the resulting trauma. So when I was about 12 years old, a man was actually murdered in my home and my mom was shot 3 times by her ex-boyfriend. So my mom ended up surviving. So for everyone who's holding their breath right now, it's all good there. But as a result of that event, I ended up struggling for a long time. You know, I ended up struggling with the symptoms of PTSD, with stress, overwhelm, night terrors. I mean, you name it, I was probably struggling with it. And it took me a while before I even opened up with anyone and told them that I was struggling, first and foremost. It takes a lot of courage to do that. And I know I'm sure many of your listeners, like, yep, totally resonate. And when I finally did open up, it was you know, I would say things like, hey, I'm kind of struggling, or hey, I'm feeling a little stressed, or I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. And I would ask people for advice. And it was like clockwork. I got the same five or so responses every time. You know, hey, Carly, have you tried therapy? Have you tried yoga? Have you tried meditation, changing your diet? When's the last time you hit the gym? And for me, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I have not been living under a rock. Come on. And it was like, yeah, I have been trying those things. And sometimes I was brave enough to say, hey, these things, while working, they worked a little bit for me. They weren't doing a good enough job. And then I would get kind of this shame response, right? Well, you haven't, the fact that you can't meditate tells me you need to meditate even more. Oh my God, I hate that, right? Or you haven't found the right instructor, or you haven't found the right therapist, or you just need to stick with it. And so I stuck with it. I continued to show up and do things that I knew weren't going to get me over the hump to experience that beautiful state of mind I knew was possible. And luckily I was a pretty resilient human and I kept exploring beyond that. And after more than 10 years of exploration, I finally figured out what worked for me. And it was at that point that it was like the skies opened up and I realized, well, that works for me, just me. That there is no one size fits all when it comes to stress management, when it comes to mental health. And at that point I got angry. I got to be real with you. I was furious. I was like, why isn't anybody talking about this? Why are we throwing out these five or so mainstream approaches? One, because yes, they work for many, many people, but why aren't we talking about all the other options? So I threw my temper tantrum and then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, I'm supposed to be the one that's talking about this. And here we are.
Wow. I had no idea that was your story. And the one thing I'd say is, one, yes, anybody to recover from something like that as a child, like that's amazing that you had to go through that and that you did come out and found your way. And you know, Carly and I have talked a couple of times now, and she is the most positive, energetic, like her energy level is so amazing. That's why I wanted her on the show. So to hear that story to me is almost shocking that, wow, you really went to that, which is a testimony to your stressless method. It obviously does work because it worked for you. And got you to this place where you are in life that you would never know that you went through such a traumatic place, because a lot of people do hold on to that trauma through their entire life. And even if you make it through, there's still always that layer of it that you sense. And so one, I'm so glad that you did get through that.
Thank you.
And you kept trying because I could see that. Yeah. Those are kind of, as you were saying, that's like, oh yeah, that would be an answer I would have. Yep. I probably would have gave somebody that same advice too. I probably have. I'd be guilty of all of that. Mm-hmm. So bringing it to today, I mean, we haven't necessarily gone through all that kind of trauma, but there's been a lot going on in the world the last 2 years. A lot. I
could say that again. Yep.
And the one thing that you said too, that, and I think you made note that a lot of people probably resonate with, is a lot of times we don't want to admit that maybe we're not handling it as well as we should. Mm-hmm. Especially because I feel like, and maybe you can answer this way better than I, because this is not my subject of expertise, but because I'm just wondering if, because the whole world really is going through COVID and everything right now, are you finding that more people are holding in their anxiety because they feel like, well, but everybody's going through this and they're doing okay. So there just must be something wrong with me and I shouldn't really admit it. I'm just wondering if people are feeling that way.
Absolutely. I think what we had learned, what we've been taught from childhood, like, I mean, our whole lives led to the way that we coped with the pandemic and are coping with the pandemic. I think so many of us were kind of taught this emotional, I don't even know if I want to call it fitness, of like, Okay, well, we don't have time for emotions. Like, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, you know? Or we had parents that were like, oh, you're crying? I'll give you something to cry about, right? Exactly, right? And so we learned, I think many of us, I won't say all of us, but I think many of us have learned that, like, well, I don't have time for emotions, or who am I to cry about this? There's starving children in Africa. You know, like, there's always been that either push down or comparison. So we minimize what we experience. And so then we can't see. We're still experiencing it, but we can't see. And then that's where we could go deeper into where coping mechanisms really show up, right? Where, okay, well, we can't deal with this, but it's still painful, so we turn to food. Or we can't deal with this and it's still painful, so we turn to work. We start numbing and avoiding in other ways, unconsciously, maybe consciously as well. The jokes about having that extra glass of wine, right? Because there's no other way. This energy has to go somewhere.
Right, right, right. Or as I shared in the podcast last week or the last in episode 10, the pent up energy that I had that was not good, anxiety I had from the last month, from a lot of different things, went out to my husband.
Yep. This is so, it's so, so common, right? Like, so we push it down, push it back, push it down, push it down. And then it explodes. I would say like 90% of my clients, one of the top symptoms they experience with stress is irritability, mm-hmm. right? Because it becomes like this, like, it's a pent up energy. Like, it's just got to go somewhere. And unfortunately, the people closest to us are that somewhere. Sometimes. Right.
Yes. Luckily, I have a really strong, good marriage. So we survived it, but
yeah, that's the testament to the relationship, the quick recovery and the forgiveness and mm-hmm. getting back on track.
Yep. Yep. So if somebody's listening right now and they're resonating with this conversation, they're like, oh my gosh, they're talking about me. That's so me right now, that maybe they haven't admitted that they're feeling a lot of stress. First of all, what are the signs? Maybe they need to look into something.
The signs of stress. You know, I always kind of step back when that question's asked. And the reason I kind of step back is because stress has like hundreds of symptoms. And so for each and every one of us, it's so different. But I can say that like there's some common symptoms that show up, right? So things like that lump in your throat, or that tension in your shoulders or neck, the pit in your stomach, the sweaty armpits or hands. I mean, we could go into gut and your relationship with the toilet, right? We could go into so many physiological symptoms, lower sperm counts, reproductive issues. I mean, it impacts so much of the body. And in terms of the mind, we might see lack of motivation, or hitting that snooze button too many times in the morning, or being quicker to anger. I've seen clients, an example that I've seen is, you know, somebody, the partner, the coworker, or the staff member does something like you asked, but not quite, right? And we lose it. And we have that whoa moment after. We're like, was that really worth the amount of anger that came out? And it can even go into, you know, things like depression, anxiety. You know, it has so many symptoms that it's really be the responsibility of the individual to say, okay, how, like in the past, when I was conscious of being stressed, how did it show up in my body? How did it show up in my mind? And to keep an eye out for those symptoms for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then once we sense that, okay, it's, you know, there's stress, I need to do something different here. And you already alluded to a lot of the things that people go to first, the yoga, the meditation, which are all great.
Great tools. Absolutely. Fantastic tools, but they aren't the only tools.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the other tools that they should be looking at.
Yeah. So let me actually give some context here, I think, because it would be really important. So each and every one of us has this thing called the autonomic nervous system. Now, the nervous system is broken up into two parts. There's the, in more common terms, the fight, flight, freeze, or faint side. That's where the adrenaline's going into your bloodstream. You're experiencing a lot of those symptoms. On the other side, you have your rest and digest mode, that part of your nervous system. And that is where your body's healing the damage that's done by when you're in fight, flight, freeze, or faint. And you're digesting your food. Maybe you're sleeping. Maybe you're relaxing, watching some Netflix. You know, it's the healing part of the body. And I give that context. And if you're curious about the scientific names, it's the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. Google them later. But the reason I share that is because when we're talking about managing our stress response, we're actually talking about deactivating fight, flight, freeze, or faint and activating rest and digest. And the reason, hold on, the real reason I got to say that we're going to do that, like, why would we even go to yoga? Why would we even meditate? Why would we want to do that? Well, as leaders, because I know you've got a lot of leaders on this podcast listening in, we lose our ability to access effective problem solving. So we're making silly mistakes. We're being forgetful. We're not giving the world what we are fully capable of. That's the reason. And so when we're talking about what are the other tools, what are the other options to manage that stress response, we're talking about anything goes here. We're talking about any activity that makes you feel like that rest and digest response has been activated, that makes you feel safe, that makes you feel relaxed or good or excited or joyful. And what I call that in my community is this thing called creative stress reduction. So creative stress reduction, again, is any activity that gets you out of fight, flight, freeze, or faint and into rest and digest. And that could include, you know, yoga, meditation, going to the gym, and shifts in diet. But it also might not, because it has to work uniquely for you. So this is kind of the point where I would guide a client, or if I were teaching a workshop, to just connect in and ask yourself, well, in the past, what has really activated that rest and digest? What has made me feel good? Is it playing with your dog? Is it going on a walk? I know you, Sherry, have a cat. Is it cuddling up with your cat? Is it?
Which sometimes that causes more fight flight than it does soothing. I need her right now. She's sitting in my lap as we're recording this.
It all depends on the cat's mood. Yeah. Totally understand. Yeah. It could also be, you know, I'm thinking of my best friend who absolutely loves to put together PowerPoint presentations. Not me, definitely not me, but it's unique to you. And as long as it fits the criteria of getting your nervous system, that part of your nervous system, rest and digest triggered, you're onto something.
So how do you know if it's the right thing?
Trial and error, I would say. And I think there's definitely power in the history of personal history, right? Like, I know that I'm a sucker for a cute dog, you know, for me, that always makes me feel, unless it's growling at me, always makes me feel calm, loved, safe, sense of belonging, so much more. That's based on my history growing up around dogs. I also know that, time with family makes me feel good based on my past experience. I also know when I was a kid, I loved jumping on a trampoline. I don't know if I'll still love that, but I know it used to. So that's where the exploration comes in. Same goes with like things you're drawn to. I haven't, believe it or not, gone rock climbing. Some people are appalled by that, but I'm curious about it. And I'm going to explore that as a potential option. Now it may not work, cross it off my list. But I think the question that you're really alluding to, Sherry, here is that like difference between the numb and the nurture, right? Like, is this working? Like, I love sitcoms. I'm a sucker for a good sitcom, but it's all about the relationship with the activity. So if I'm numbing, right? So a good sitcom will definitely calm my nervous system. It'll make me laugh. It'll relax me for sure. But if I'm numbing, I might be binging that sitcom. I'm avoiding the problem at hand. And so when I return to it, I'm even more stressed out. That's numbing, right? Versus nurturing, we're really intentional. Like, I got that stressful email. I feel the stress response. I don't have clear thinking. Maybe I'm angry. Maybe I'm frustrated. Okay, I'm going to watch one episode. I'm going to get some belly laughs, and it's time bound. I'm going to return to the problem at hand. So it's not so much about what, it's about how it makes you feel and making sure you're engaging in it in a way that is nurturing.
I love that. And such great advice, because I think that is the thing that we do, like you said, is we go too far and we're still not dealing with the stress, mm-hmm. avoiding the stressful situation,
yep.
and numbing it, and just really ultimately probably making it worse when we do get back to it. Mm-hmm. And we're in that state of mind. So if I'm hearing right, then it's really paying attention to how do we feel during or after.
Yeah, it's doing that check-in. So you have that list of activities that are unique to you. Before you even engage in one, you asking yourself, would this activity be nurturing? Or how could I engage in this activity in a way that I think it would be nurturing? And then engaging, and then taking note, taking stock. Did this calm the stress response? Did it activate rest and digest? So I know for me, when I get really worked up about something, you know, whatever the overthinking goes, walking, not a good idea, because it leaves me to ruminate, right? And that was a note that I had to take. Now, in other circumstances, it works. So you'll start to notice your nuances of like, okay, if this type of situation happens, walking's not going to work, but maybe a kickboxing class would. You know, if this type of situation happens, maybe I sit in and engage in some mindfulness. If this type of situation happens, I'm out with friends. But it's really a process of learning about yourself and what you need.
I love that. And I think, and I talk a lot about this too, is just sometimes it's just being quiet enough and pausing enough to really pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we're just so go, 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 and or do, do, do. And it's not taking the time to really listen to how one, acknowledging that we're stressed, and then mm-hmm. really paying attention to how are we feeling when we're trying to de-stress. And
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And I would argue that that's actually the fight, flight, freeze, or faint response, right? That's the kind of warped decision making. Right. I see this a lot of times with the leaders and business owners that I work with, the logic that if they, even though they're tired, exhausted, hungry, angry, like this thing can only be resolved if they sit down and get it done, like, and just push through. And that's the logic that where you just, I got to keep moving. I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. I can't. The stories. When reality, that's actually warped thinking. How could you be of greater service to the world when you have a headache, when your shoulders hurt, when you're exhausted, when you're hungry, when you're grouchy? People don't want to be around that. They want to be around a leader that is nourished, that is kind, that is thoughtful, that is in their strengths. And so it's that fight, flight, or freeze that can really warp that thought process very easily. So easily. Even I struggle with it to this day. Am I pushing? Am I hustling just because this is the fight, flight, or freeze response here?
Right, right. So do you, and maybe it can be, you know, a client that you've worked with or just some general ideas. Once somebody does take that time and they nourish their energy and they nourish their soul, what does it look like on the other side? What should it look like on the other side?
You know, you would be shocked at how little I get this question. I love this. You know, I think the other side, in a simple way to describe the other side, is that we feel a sense of calm amidst the chaos. The chaos doesn't go away, but we feel grounded. We feel good. We are solid, regardless of what goes on around us. I'll say from like some examples of, I want to honor the privacy of my clients, but some kind of more vague examples that hint there. You know, part of the work that I do as part of the stress less method is, you know, that first step is managing your energy, managing that stress response. And we spent a lot of time kind of touching the surface of that today. But the second step of that method is identifying your blocks. So in what ways have you been creating more suffering for yourself? And so when we're talking about what's the other side is also letting go of all the unnecessary stress, undue amounts of stress that are just, we're just carrying, that are within our control to change. And so, yes, the world might still send us chaos, a global pandemic, you know, all sorts of stuff, but we've handled our own stuff that is within our control. So we're not carrying such a burden that that can, you know, put us off kilter. So we're experiencing that calm in that way, more ease in moving through our day to day.
I like that. And so you touched on, because I know your stress less method. So you touched on the first 2 points. What are the other, there's five, right?
There's five. You got it.
Yes.
So what are the, I love it.
Yes. And we are going to be starting to wrap things up. So you can finish with talking about the stress less method and add in any tidbits you would like to those points. Be great.
Perfect. Yeah. So we talked about the first step, which is managing your energy or managing your stress response. The second step is to identify your blocks. This is where we're looking at, how have you created more suffering for yourself? Where are all the places in your life, past, present, and future, that you're feeling a negative emotion around? We look at what's the root of that. What's really underneath of all of that, So it's not your staff that are driving you nuts. There's something underneath of that. It's not the fact that you're behind on laundry. There's something underneath of that, right? The third step is creating a plan. So as part of the second step, you're going to find out that there's quite a few things that need some shifting in order to experience that emotional freedom. And so we look at together, what is going to be the most bang for the buck? What is the one thing, in the words of Gary Keller, that you can do that's going to make everything else easier or unnecessary? And so we create a plan to address this. And the fourth step is to actually do the legwork, to remove the blocks one by one. And this isn't, I like to say about my programs, there's a lot of folks that, you know, offer shorter containers, like quick, they say you're going to be fixed at the end of it. I'm not one of those people, because this is a lifelong journey. This is a process. It takes lots of time to rewire, I should say. And so step four is removing those blocks. And step five is embrace grace. And it's at that point in the program where we're experiencing that beautiful state of mind more times than not. And we also understand that we're not perfect, nor are we meant to be perfect, right? And so we give ourselves the grace of, okay, oh, here's another block, but now we have the tools. And so instead of that block knocking us down for weeks, months, years, we're able to use the tools that we've discovered for ourselves that work uniquely for us to get back up from a place of nurture, not numb, and experience that emotional freedom. And not only that, we get to, like, just by living it, by living the process and experiencing that, we get to be an example, like hope even, for all those other people that are suffering that think that that's just the status quo and that's how it's supposed to be. Now you're then the example of, like, no, that's not true.
I love all that. And, you know, my 2001, we're human, we are messy. So it's never ending because you get your, you know, shit together, basically. It happens. And so there's always going to be things thrown at us to test us. Right. Yep. And what you just finished there too, my thought with that is, like, you are, you know, most of our audience are leaders or managers, and they have teams and they have people looking to them. And you're so right. Like, you are the example. So if you figure out ways to handle your emotions, you're now being that example that other people are going to start thinking, wait, I want to be more like them.
Yep.
What can I do to be more like that? And we need to set that example, not just in how our work ethic is, but also how we live our life. And our stress is a big piece of that.
Yeah. And you get, you know, at that point, especially as a leader, manager, et cetera, like you get the privilege of, you know, or if someone asks you, if your staff, like, hey, I need help here. Can you guide me here? Like you get that beautiful privilege of being like, oh, I got you.
Right.
Let's do this.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Well, Carla, you are definitely a gift to the world, and love to wrap it up with just, do you have a book that you would recommend if somebody wanted to, you know, just build as a leader or look a little bit more into how to live a stress-free life? And we'll finish with your quote, but I do know too, you have a special offer for the listeners as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll start with the book. So I wasn't sure what book I was going to recommend as a non-author myself. And I found kind of like the Bible of emotions. I've remembered this book. I've read a couple of times now, and it's called Emotional Freedom. And it's by Judith Orloff. And I think the subline is liberate yourself from negative emotions and transform your life. She's a psychologist. Just phenomenal read from cover to cover, but also to be able to open a page and be like, I'm struggling with this. What the heck do I do? And while it perhaps isn't a one size fits all, it's a really great starting point.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll go into what I have, where you can find me next. I think that's
okay.
The most graceful way. And so if you're resonating and you really would love to connect, you can find me at stresslessco.com. So stresslessco.com. And if you're looking to learn a little bit more about, you know, why managing your energy is key, I do have a free audio training. It's actually a training I taught my clients live during the pandemic. So it's very recent and very raw and new and helpful. You can find that at stresslessco.com/energy.
Great. Thank you. And I do appreciate everything that you shared today. And I know it definitely, as I shared in the beginning, very timely. And we'll close with your own quote that we talked about before we did hit the record button.
Yes. So it's the one that came to mind, I think, because it's my mantra. And it is, I am safe, I am loved, I am healthy, and I am free.
I love that. And on that note, we are going to say goodbye to the listeners. So thank you for listening to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. And thank you for being here today, Carly.
Thank you so much for having me.
My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.